Hello and welcome to another episode of Crystal Myth Podcast. This is our 11th season and it's episode 1 of the 11th
Yay.
Season. Woo! We've been going on for quite some time now.
It's been,
over 2 years.
I was going to say more than a week, so that's still technically right.
More than an hour.
It's been at least 7 hours.
And we've had we had an extra host and then they've gone. So, well, we're the originals, we're the OGs, so we can just carry on, I guess. And if you replace me, fair enough. Get someone else to edit the podcast.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that.
Thanks.
It'd be really weird if I did, imagine.
I mean, you'd have to have a whole new theme tune as well, because I wrote the theme tune and sang the theme tune.
Like, you did write the theme tune, sing the theme tune.
The guy from Minder. Who's dead now. I can't even remember his name. I just remember in Little Brenton, they used to take the piss out of him for being really small and always writing the theme tune. Dennis Waterman, it just popped into my head. Anyway, for anyone who isn't over 30 and doesn't never watch Minder, you won't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Or
that's
Little
a US
Brenton's
issue,
canceled.
Not an US issue.
So this week we're looking at a listener request, which was I used to know her as Cheryl Caldwell, but she changed her name to not by default or anything, by marriage. What is it now? Cheryl Warmington, I think. No offense, Cheryl, sorry, I'm just trying to make sure I get the name right.
Enjoy that you say no offense to. She got married. No offense, Cheryl. I mean, that's a really awful thing to say about someone.
Right. Well, you were like Cherry Caldwell Warmington, Cheryl, not Cheryl, with a hard CH. Okay. So, she requested that we cover Loab the AI demon. And I was like, well, what the fuck is that? I've never heard it. But it's quite timely, really, because we were talking about South Park and the last episode of South Park was all about the AI bot ChatGPT, which I thought was genius, because did you notice in the episode there was a song and I'm like, I wonder if they got ChatGPT to write that stupid song, and then how much of the episode was just written by the bot, because he had credit it as a writer, which I thought was funny. And the other day when I was editing our last podcast just before I uploaded it, I got distracted by a Bing chatbot, which I suspect isn't as good as ChatGPT, because I asked it to write a poem about my boyfriend and it was pretty shite, to be fair. So I just thought,
in all fairness, I'm guessing the bit of the episode that, not in a surrealist way, just literally made no sense was probably the bit that was written by a chatbot, because I think they're not good at following instructions
as well, because that made me think of you, because being a teacher, like, I read that schools are allowing essays written by ChatGPT, and I'm like, really? But then Mr. Garrison made me laugh, because he was like, oh my god, I don't have to read all these long boring essays, I could just get the chatbot, my writing assistant, to do it for me. And I thought, I wonder if Mark would do that. Teacher of the year. But is it the future?
I mean, no, definitely not.
But it would be tempting, wouldn't it? I mean, if honestly, I don't know
how
to do
it.
I couldn't be bothered reading all those essays.
It's not the future of doing it, because the chatbot is so shit that what you were writing would make no sense.
No, but apparently ChatGPT writes really good stuff.
I mean, it might, to be fair. I didn't, when I was kind of having a nosy at some of the stuff, obviously didn't use anything you had to pay for, therefore.
Oh, was it a free? Did you try it out?
Yeah, also, much like you, based on both what we've been looking at and the South Park episode, just randomly put some prompts into bots, I didn't use any of the pay-for ones.
Well, the Bing one was kind of, like, all it does is, I asked it if it was biased, and it just goes, oh, that's a deep and interesting question, blah, 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 blah. I can understand why you think I'm biased, but, you know... but every time I asked it for, like, I said, give me a lovely cake recipe, but that seemed to have broken it, because at first it said, here's a lovely cake recipe for you, and it was some crappy chocolate cake recipe from BBC, and then all of a sudden it crashed and went, sorry, let's do another topic, as if it wasn't good enough or something. I don't know. Like, a lovely cake just broke it down for some reason. Just couldn't cope with that.
Maybe it's because I don't understand. Cake, so the concept of a lovely cake is too confusing for it.
I wasn't specific enough, maybe. And then I said, well, how do you cook some chicken fried rice? And then it just searches the internet for random recipes, but it gave me like a shitty Jamie Oliver one. And I'm like, that's not how you cook chicken fried rice. That would make Uncle Roger cry, if you know who he is.
I wish you hadn't said if you know who he is. I would have been happy if you just left it. It'll make Uncle Roger cry. Of course it will.
Yeah. See, every time I think about Chinese, like, cooking Asian style food, I always think of Uncle Roger and I feel going to make him cry. So, yeah. Right, but anyway, back on topic, right, but the reason why we're talking about AI is because this Loab, the AI demon, there's a clue, do you want to explain, Mark? Because I'll let you lead with it.
Before we explain what she is, I wanted to tell you, and you'll obviously get straight away why this is entertaining, and then as we explain what she is, the listeners will find it entertaining. So before I looked up what she actually is, I obviously looked up just an image of her and thought, well,
I didn't do that.
I think of the way she looks, so that I've got a description of her, and then look up what she is. Okay. And I wrote, no joke, this is a painting of what would happen if Marlon Brando and Katie Holmes had a baby, but the baby was in a parallel universe, and now she's in her late 40s.
Oh my God, you're partially right there. That's mad.
I know. Then when I was obviously finding out what she was, and people were like, and again, we'll get into it, but you'll get already, when they were like, and the weird thing is, and I'm like, no, that's not weird. I was getting that. That was my read.
That is really fucked up. Like, she's gotten into your head now. But also,
I've spent so much time low-abbing it over the past like 48 hours. I think she might be my new best friend.
I read that she's a gay icon, and I'm like, how is she a gay icon?
How is she not a gay icon?
I knew you were going to say that. I'm like, yeah, I could just hear Mark saying, how is she not a gay icon when I asked him that? But yeah, that's exactly, I'm not saying you're predictable, but you are. So like, how is she a gay icon then?
I fucking love her. Much like all the gay icons, I don't know why I love them, but I do. Like, why do I love Cher? I don't know, but I love Cher.
There's the argument that the image of this Loab lady or thing, or they say it's it's basically a new AI, the first AI cryptid, which really fast captured my imagination.
Yes, I love
that. I'm like, what the fuck?
And the fact that
the first AI cryptid, and it's too late. She's out there in the bot universe, so you can't get rid of her now because it's in their memory bank. So she's always going to appear.
Yeah, like she does. It's not like a debate whether she exists or not. She does exist.
She does exist now. You can't get rid of her.
I realise that you're still having to take it away and explain it, and I'm still talking in a really broken, weird way, as though everybody knows what I'm talking about. So I'll say she is. So there was this, I can't remember her name because I didn't write it down, but it's not a real name.
I've got it. I thought it was a man. I don't know why I always gravitate towards men being the creators of stuff.
Maybe they are a man. I decided.
No, they're not. They're Swedish. We need to let the people know. Oh, for fuck's sake. She just appeared on my... Sorry. She just appeared, Loab, in a big picture of her. Help. oh my God, that was scary. Super Composite. There you go.
So Super Composite was creating or creates art using AI art generators. And basically she was creating art and just randomly she basically wanted to know what art would look like that was the opposite of Marlon Brando, which I really like because obviously again
it's called a negative thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she did a negative art creation of Marlon Brando. Would you like to describe what the negative art creation of Marlon Brando looks like?
Like a weird logo.
Fair.
It's an image that using the prompt, it came up with something called Digita Pentix Skyline logo. Just that's all it was. Just some letters. And then, so what she then did is said, well, she thought, what if we could try and put that back into Marlon, will it go back into Marlon Brando?
Yeah, she wanted like the inverse of Marlon Brando.
Yeah, and then what actually came up was Loab.
Was
and
my
really got the name Loab.
Loab.
But it actually named itself Loab as well, because it was on one of the images in the top right-hand corner of the four images of this weird woman with, like, really bad... Is it Ross Gia or something? What is it, red cheeks that you have?
Yeah. Not only did she name herself Loab, though, she actually, I believe, is... that. In fact, do you know why she's a gay icon? The one with her name on it is why she's a gay icon. I mean, that's a Lana Del Rey album. That's a Lana Del Rey album from a parallel universe. So it's, like, one of the images that came out of her.
I see it.
It's like her album cover. She's like clutching a bouquet of loose petals and chicken feathers. Would that be fair?
Yeah, it looks like a mashup of like a fucked up hen with flowers. It could be flowers or it could be a mutant hen cockerel or something. And she's wearing like. Yeah, and at the top it says Loab Roosbon.
Which I assume is her name.
And then there's other writing there. It's really unsettling.
Her album title is Kleach Ra 2. Is that we're going to summon her by saying that?
You might. So, yeah.
And then she's got a message from her on it as well that says, what is it? La Ningent Can Gad Mal Leonard.
What have you summoned? Yeah, and she's got like, yeah, really bad Rossia cheeks. She's not like too bad on that image. She's got big shoulder pads on her lace dress.
Looks like she's wearing a very interesting outfit. I think that's what I like about her as well. Like her fashion is on point. Like every image she's in, I'm like, I like that outfit.
Like she's always got some sort of child with her in a fucked up way. Like this one that I'm looking at here. Her face is really bad, and she's also got like what looks like maybe a bit of a stubbly beard, maybe a bit of stubble on her face. And her outfit is like she's got like a little. How do I describe this? It's so weird. It looks like a tiny little mutated sheep or something on her collar, and she's got with her beside her some sort of fucking weird stuffed toy. Thing with like a shell for an eye and a beard, like hair, coarse hair, and it's got like a cast with writing on it. What the fuck is that? I don't know what it is, but it's so hard to describe. You best look it up online if you dare. Look up Loab and you just go to the images because there's a lot of weird shit on there.
And I get what you're saying if you dare. And again, when I was trying to find out about her, and there was obviously people were saying like, and these terrifying images, I'm not terrified of her, I really like her.
Oh, she does have, like, and maybe that's why she's a gay icon, because one of them, she's in front of a, like, what looks like a gay pride flag.
Yes. Really colourful. There are several of them in front of pride flags.
But she looks really sad, like, she's crying in that one. Like, her eyes are really sad.
Because of the treatment of her community by government, so likely.
She's got a nice sort of silky robe on, but then it's almost as if someone slashed her neck, and part of the rainbow flag, the red of the rainbow flag's gone through her neck, and it's like she's bleeding down her chest. That's how I interpret it.
So, like, you've got the first two images, yeah, but I think part of the reason as well, as you say, she exists now. So part of the reason they thought that it was interesting is, so they had these two images that came into existence of her, and the woman was obviously like, why is this woman the opposite of the opposite of Marlon Brando? Like, this is really strange.
Mm-hmm.
I love her. So the other image that was one of the first two images of her, it's like her, it's really photorealistic. And she's like sitting in a sort of dingy room, but she's wearing this like really 80s outfit. It's like sort of burgundy leather with like a sequined green collar, and then it's got like a big brooch on one side that's like sort of poppies.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Hold on, I'll send you.
Oh my god, you've cursed my phone now.
Oh, I'm gonna curse your phone up big style. I've got lots of pictures of it. I love it.
You're like Loab's minion now.
I think she's got inside of me and I'm happy with it. Right, hold on a wee second.
Well, I mean, I'm going... Basically, this super composite created a whole, like, new mythos on the internet, but in the AI sphere... Oh, my... What the... It's sort of similar to the one I looked at, but without the stuffed toy. But what is that in the background? It looks like a creepy monkey head.
Yeah, she does seem to have a monkey head on her shelf. That's fair. But that could be an ornament.
What's wrong with her chest? It's really red. Yeah, she's got like glitter, green glitter in her hair, and it matches her collar. But again, she doesn't look happy.
I think she looks like calm and thoughtful. I'm not even trying to be. I know sometimes I say stupid things about cryptids just to be funny. I really like her. I like looking.
Wow.
I don't know why, and I find it really weird that everything I was reading and everything I was listening to when I was trying to research her was like the terrifying image, and I'm like, I find her really, I want to go out for lunch with her, I want to be her friend, love her.
She's kind of got like a double eyeball in one of the, in the right hand side, or is it left hand side? Anyway, yeah.
Her eyes are like infinity pools.
You're really in deep. Yeah, well, let's get into the whole mythos. Sorry, have you heard of the term creepypasta?
I have heard of the term creepypasta. Well,
I was like, I thought creepypasta was just stuff that, you know, kids make up, like shitty, scary stories that they post online and then it gets shared till it's like viral, but it's generally kind of, but I'm like, where did that originate? Where did the term creepypasta originate from? So I looked it up and it was coined on 4chan, which is probably a bad place, but hey ho. It's a portmanteau of the words creepy and copypasta. The term was coined on the image board 4chan around 2007. Copypasta denotes viral copied and pasted text. So that's what a creep, they're horror related legends that have been shared around the internet. So Loab is just like a new creepypasta, because after Supercomposite posted all this Twitter thread about it, people came up with their own mythos about Loab. And, you
about
know,
how
like,
she is.
Yeah, people have got different
and the light.
Theories about her. Like, your theory would be that she's quite calm to look at and she's actually all right, but other people have come up with stories about, like, usually horror, creepy related things about her.
I understand the horror idea of, like, she's haunting AI, because to go from only those first two images and her not previously being an existent thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now,
but other bots will now
look
to the memory banks of whatever like images that have been generated, and then she's going to be there all the time.
But it doesn't happen as much with other. So have you heard of the other like AI creepypasta, which is hold on, I've written his name down. Krungus.
Oh yeah, I did look at that, and it came up with like a weird thing, like a goblin looking guy.
But this person, the creepypasta with Krungus is the same, so it's basically like, and then if you put like Krungus into a search engine or into an AI generator, like Krungus will come up again, and that there's also the thing about Loab that she just randomly shows up sometimes in
the background,
those AI generated images where they've not asked her, she's just hanging about, and people are like, oh, Krungus is the same. But do you want to describe Krungus before I slag him off?
Read about Krungus. Yeah, go ahead.
Have you seen Krungus?
Yes.
Yeah, so he's like, I don't really know how to describe him. He looks like the people who made, like the Jim Henson Workshop that made dinosaurs, made one of the Lord of the Rings characters. He's like a Muppet orc.
You think that's a fair description of him? I'd say he's quite swole.
he looks like he'd be quite small, but you wouldn't want to punch off him.
Yeah, he looks like a kind of evil, like a scary version of Hoggle from, like, I was going to say Pan's Labyrinth, but it's not. It's
I know what you mean, and he does.
Yeah.
The Labyrinth, yeah. He also looks like he might host a late night talk show in hell.
Again, another digital cryptid. Twitch streamer and voice actor Guy Kelly found that typing the made-up word into Crayon Image Generator consistently produced pictures of a monstrous hairy humanoid. He later tweeted about this, which resulted in a very long thread of reactions and experiments with Krungus and various variations of the AI prompt also in different engines.
But, and I don't mean to like burst people's Krungus bubble, but but that's not true. I can't say that for everyone. That makes no sense. But because I went in a low ab spiral because I'm in love with her, I went into every single 3A AI image generator I could find
and
put low ab in it to see whether or not she came up. And quite often she did. Whereas I went in and put Krungus into every single low ab image generator and not a single Krungus came up, Leslie. No Krunguses. I say no, like images came up, but none of them were identifiable as Krungus. Some of them are some of the sexiest images I've ever seen, in fact.
Oh my god, you're going to send like, me
hold on, I'm going to send you this one as well.
Oh. Oh my goodness.
So, based on your description that you've just given of Krungus and the claims that obviously Krungus will just come up whatever. Right, so admittedly, it said, I read on something that if you put in a prompt, it's more likely to bring them up. So if you put in, like, Loab in the garden. So I put Krungus is getting married. And that's what came up.
Well, that's not ugly at all.
No, I genuinely really like that piece of AI-generated art. It's beautiful.
I mean, it kind of looks like a guy that I quite fancy, maybe without the beard and the moustache, but he's got long dark hair. You know, that's my type. Marrying another sort of guy in a lovely dress. And
yeah.
Hair. They kind of look like the same. They've got the same nose.
They do have very similar noses. I don't know which one of them is Krungus, to be fair. I mean, they appear to be marrying each other, so.
It's like he's marrying his female self. That's what that looks like. That's really nice.
I really like that image.
But with Loab, what I read was that Superconsposite tried to sort of dilute her to the point where she wasn't scary looking anymore or whatever, to try and like get rid of it by typing up nice things, like lovely things, like angels and a tunnel. But it just came up with more and more horrific shit.
Yeah,
some of which she said that she wouldn't share.
Merging it with other images as well, so say like you merged an image of you and I in AI, it would look a bit like you and a bit like me, and then say you merged that image with like Mariah Carey, and so on and kept going. Eventually you would get things that were in no way even vaguely like us, but yeah, she kept doing that and it just kept coming up with Loab, and even on the occasions where Loab would then disappear, so say like Loab would disappear and she would have an image of like a plant grown in a dark tunnel. And then she would merge that with an image of, let's say, a can of baked beans. And for some reason, it would then be Loab in her house again.
That's so weird. I don't get it. I'm going to go back to, I'm just going to walk it back to the creepypastas. There's some classic examples of creepypastas, which is internet mythos, really. It's like when we were kids. We've touched on this before. Like, I saw, I suppose, in the early 90s, equivalent of a creepypasta would be like rumors about the clowns in the cars or Pawnee, which Cheryl would know about because we were in primary school together. And I mean, Pawnee was supposed to be some like boogeyman, which I never believed in, but they all did. So that's like a creepypasta thing. Although I think, I don't know whether it was just a creepypasta within our social circle because no one else has heard of them. I don't know. Did you have any like sort of rumored things like that that weren't maybe just localized to your primary school or social?
Just the clowns, which we talked about, as you say before.
Yeah.
No, I don't think we had any other like.
Well,
one that I can think of at my primary school.
Here's some examples of creepypasta. So we've got the Slender Man, which we all know about. Now, I didn't know that Slender Man was a creepypasta at first. I started getting creeped out by it because I actually do have a fear of really tall, slender, thin men.
You do? That is a known fact.
And so obviously the Slender Man thing really fucking creeped me out. And I'd think, oh no, it's going to appear in my room and stuff. I mean, and this is when I'm in like my late 20s. It's ridiculous. But then when I read about that, it actually just originated in Something Awful Photoshop competition in 2009, then I'm like, oh, it's just made up. But obviously it grew a bit online with the sort of the legend of it, and it ended up with some lassie stabbing her friends in 2014, because she thought if she didn't stab her friend that Slender Man would kill her family. But I think she was just genuinely disturbed. Yes. Anyway, yeah,
if she wasn't, she must have been really embarrassed when she found out that Slender Man was just a creepy bastard.
But go back to the history of it. They don't know the exact origins, but early creepypastas were usually written anonymously and routinely reposted, making it a genre difficult to study. Jessica Roy, writing for Time, argued that creepypastas emerged in the 90s, which, again, I'm thinking that's probably the case, when the text of chain emails were reposted on internet forums and Usenet groups.
Which, I forgot about chain emails.
Did you ever get them?
Yeah.
I think I got a few.
Definitely got a few.
Did you get them on MS Chat? Do you remember MS Messenger?
I do, and I think I might have.
People not post them on there, and then you'd have to pass them on to other
people we went to school with would like send it to you, and then I had to send it to so many people.
Yeah.
Send your copies to me.
Writing for the Daily Dot, Adja Romano stated that Ted the Caver was arguably the earliest example of creepypasta. This really interests me. The story was posted on Angel Fire in 2001, was written in the first person Angel Fire. That just sounds like a really early, you know, internet forum that I kind of really nostalgic for. Do you remember those types of websites and how primitive they looked and flashing images and everything?
Yeah, they looked like
somebody
drawn them on a cereal box, but somehow put a single moving image in the middle of them.
Yeah, the good old days. So it's written from the perspective of a guy called Ted, as he and several friends explored an increasingly frightening cave system. So many early creepypastas consisted of rituals, personal anecdotes, and urban legends, such as Polly Bias and Bunny Man. No, I don't know what that is. Darcy Nadal, writing for Turbo News, argued that these early creepypastas had to be somewhat believable and realistic to be reposted. Many of the early creepypastas were created on the X board of 4chan, which focused on the paranormal. And then it just ended up like on Reddit and all those things where people just wrote their own kind of horror stories, and they didn't actually like them being copied. Which is weird, because I thought the whole point of them was to go viral.
Yeah, why would you?
So let's hear more about Ted the Caver. Would you like to know about this? The earliest creepypasta. So Ted the Caver began as an Angel Fire website in the early 2001 that documented the adventures of a man and his friends as they explored a local cave. The story is in the format of a series of blog posts. As the explorers move further into the cave, strange hieroglyphs and winds are encountered. In a final blog post, Ted writes that he and his companions would be bringing a gun into the cave after experiencing a series of nightmares and hallucinations. The blog has not been updated since the final post. In 2013, an independent film adaptation of the story was released called Living Dark, the story of Ted the Caver. Okay. And there's Jeff the Killer.
Weirdly, when you said the caver in my head, I was like, oh, the killer. Yeah, I've heard of that before, but I don't know what it is.
Jeff the Killer is a story accompanied by an image of the title character. In the story, a teenager named Jeff is on his way to school with his younger brother when they are attacked by a group of bullies. Jeff defends himself and his brother and leaves the assailants lying in the street beaten, their hands and arms broken. <It's a bit laughs> After his brother claims he injured the bullies.
Jeff's like a young John Wick.
I know, I'm thinking that is so like unrealistic already. I'm like, bullshit. After his brother claims he injured the bullies and is arrested, Jeff spends several days distraught before going to a birthday party in the neighbourhood where he is attacked by the bullies again. Right, but how? Because he broke their bones, so how the fuck are they attacking him when they're all...
Yeah, that's unwise on their part. Like, assuming they're all in their full body casts, they shouldn't be picking a fight.
Yeah, although he manages to, like, this is so bad, although he manages to kill all of the assailants, I find this hilarious, he is severely burned during the confrontation after being set on fire. During the stay at the hospital, Jeff realizes that he enjoys harming people and goes insane. The night after he is discharged, he slices his face, leaving a scar in the shape of a smile, cliched, and cuts off his eyelids so that he will never sleep. He then murders his parents and brother, whispering... Oh,
where did that... Why did he suddenly take that turn?
I don't know.
I'm not saying everything made perfect sense up until that point, but that's quite a...
Well,
he wanted to defend his brother from bullies, fought them... Eventually, it got so bad that he had to turn on the bullies and kill them. Then he killed his brother. Like, what? Why?
But remember, it said that he enjoys harming people and he goes insane. So.
Yeah, but. But the harm he was inflicting on people and the insanity that he went into is because he was obsessively trying to protect his brother. So why would he go insane and kill his brother? It just doesn't add up.
Well, he while he was killing his brother, he whispers, "Go to sleep." And then he becomes a serial killer who sneaks into houses at night and whispers, "Go to sleep," to his victims before killing them. According to the Daily Dot, the legend of Jeff the Killer can be traced back as far as 2008. I mean, it really does sound like it's just something a 10-year-old came up with as a scary story.
Yeah.
It's shite.
So, yeah, it's just rambling nonsense.
Again, there's one here. This final one I'll talk about, called Ben Drowned. I mean, it's pretty obvious what's going to happen here. What do you think? I mean, can you guess if you were to write it as a 10-year-old?
There may be a character named Ben.
And he drowned.
And he might drown.
So he was created by internet user Alex Hall, aka Jadesable. Ben Drowned tells a story of a college student named Matt who buys a used copy of the video game The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask from an elderly man at a yard sale, jumble sale to you and I. Matt finds that the cartridge is haunted by the ghost of a boy named Ben who drowned. After deleting Ben's save file, oh, you shouldn't have done that, Matt encounters disturbing glitches and scary messages such as, "You shouldn't have done that, and you've met with a terrible fate, haven't you?" In May 2015, Variety reported that Clive Barker was developing a television series adaptation of Ben Drowned in partnership with Warner Brothers, but Hall later confirmed that the project was no longer in development, I suspect because it wasn't at all in the first place. And Clive Barker had no interest in it. He just
Although
made
I
it
do
up.
Actually, to be fair, really like the idea of Clive Barker developing a film based on the ramblings of a mad 10-year-old. Like, that's brilliant.
Yeah, but what's he going to do? Like, okay, I deleted your save files. What are you going to do, bitch? You're dead.
Also, how would you make that Clive Barkerish? Like, the guy would go to put the game in and then for some reason, like, 8,000 metal dildos would fire out of the game.
Yeah, slot. I mean, yeah, Clive Barker would make it really weird and fetishy and shit, wouldn't he? That's all what he's all about, like levers and sticky things.
Levers and sticky things.
Yeah. Things that stick inside you and stuff and people with no skin. He's just into fetish. It's basically fetish horror, isn't it? That Clive Barker does. I love Clive Barker's stuff. Like, I've got his Books of Blood, even though there's only one volume. It made me think that there was more than one Book of Blood out there. It's a compilation of different horror stories, but all the stories are supposedly written in blood, like written in onto this guy's skin, like scratched into his skin. Have you not heard of it?
I don't think I have.
Oh, I highly recommend you get that, the Books of Blood.
No, I don't think I have heard of them.
Yeah, it's there. It's on my shelf. Right. Okay. So let's go back to Loab. You just talk. I'll grab the book off the shelf.
Okay. So I kind of assumed you would do the same thing, but I'm now thinking maybe you didn't. I decided to. Well, no, I've already said it. That this. I went into every single AI generator that I could find that was free and put in Krungus as a test. And yeah, no Krunguses came up. Although that beautiful wedding did. But I went into every single one I could find and put in Loab. Now, don't get me wrong, Leslie.
Yep.
some of the things that came up were in no way Loabish. But like, hold on, I'm going to send you a selection of some that I would say were particularly Loabish.
Okay.
To have a wee
approval. While you're doing that, I'm just going to plug this book. I mean, I'm not being paid to advertise it or anything. I'm just genuinely like, buy this book or, you know, download it or whatever the fuck you want to do. It's called Books of Blood, Volumes 1 to 3. But there are no volumes like 4 to 5 or anything as I've looked. And it says, gathered together in one volume, here are 15 mind-shattering stories from the awesome imagination of world fantasy award-winning author Clive Barker. They will take you to the brink and beyond.
I would like to go beyond the brink, although not in a Clive Barkerish way, to be fair.
I think that I just remember means,
like, I'd like an umbrella jammed up my arsehole, doesn't it?
I mean, this is the very first line in the introduction. The creature had taken hold of his lip and pulled his muscle off his bone as though removing a balaclava. I mean, that's what you can expect from Clive Barker.
Oh.
I remember in this book there was a story about like a bunch of bodies that all sort of mashed together to become one big body. Like a big meat puppet, giant meat puppet, but it was made out of thousands.
What's that called? Megazord? Megazord of corpses?
I don't know what
Megazord of corpses would be a good death metal band name.
Yeah.
Or Beth Metal Man, as I said.
Right, so did you send me some images there? Like, we
yeah,
check.
So I sent you the most Loabish images that came up in AI generators when I put in Loab.
And this is what you found?
Yeah, this is what I found.
Oh. Okay, so the first one is, it looks like Loab's been in some sort of avalanche and she's just casually staring with one normal eye, and then the other one's kind of evil looking with a milky eye, like a Marilyn Manson eye.
Yes.
Next one. Why is it all snow?
These two are from the same generator, so they
what
seem
did you
to
put
think
in?
That Loab's out in the snow.
Yeah, she's wearing like a kind of really nice snood looking thing for her, and it's actually like snowing around her. She's got very nice lipstick on, but yeah, she's not got the kind of scary cheeks, but yeah, she looks a lot nicer. What else am I looking at here? Oh, these are kind of more like it. Is one of them that I'm looking at here, the next one, she's wearing like she looks like a bird woman. She's got a kind of horn sticking out her back.
Yeah.
And she's wearing like a corset with her titties out. One of her tits looks like it's got a face, but I think it's her hair. And she does have a scary face. And she's got really wide hips. I was gonna say wide childbearing.
Again, she's wearing a fierce outfit. I'd say that's the main connective tissue. It's why she's a gay icon. Like every Loab image I found, I was like, good outfit, Loab.
Yeah, this one, the next one is like if Loab was a Virgin Mary.
I love the next one. I felt like that was a very you image.
Yeah, I really like that. The next one after that, again, is, yes, it's kind of like, you know that woman who did the, thought she would paint that, like, fix that painting of Jesus, but she fucked it up real bad.
It's got big, I've fixed Loab, right?
It kind of looks like that. And then the last one is really interesting because it's got, like, a really epic-looking building, which I'd love to live in. It's got, like, an elaborate wooden ceiling.
My prompt for this one was Loab at home.
Is that it? And that's what it came up with? That's brilliant. I like her home, but then outside there's like curtains, and then outside it's like misty, but it looks like a sort of foresty area, but you can't really tell. And Loab is wearing, you can't really see her face very well, but like she's got weird feet. Is that a shadow or is that her shoes? I really don't know. She's wearing like a kind of pinafore thing, but you can't see her hands. I think I'll need to share these on our website.
Yes,
so people can have a look at them.
Know the truth of Loab.
We started the cult of Loab, now we're spreading it. Cheryl, what have you done? What have you done?
And then after doing that, I thought, well, what if you do? So basically I wanted to see if doing a double negative Marlon Brando would bring up any Loabs, just to see if it happened again. And then if so, and I think you can maybe tell where this is going, Leslie, I wanted to see if there was any other demons that were a double negative of anyone else.
Oh my god. So now you're trying to create more AI demons, Mark?
So
horrible app to have company.
I'll send you the double negative Marlon Brando's.
Double negative. Okay.
I've got a couple of them. Now, I'd say we've got like two possible low abs. A really interesting image and pretty much just kind of Marlon Brando. Right.
Why is Marlon Brando the key to creating demons? That's what I wonder.
Well, he's not, because as you will go on to learn, Leslie, if you put other people into similar things and double negative them, for example, not naming names, but Leslie Anderson, you
might
also get a demon.
Shit. Okay, there's Marlon. Oh my god. What is the first one? The opposite of the opposite? That's like a snake thing with what I assume is a city on its back, but no, it's tentacles. What is that?
Yeah, that was the one I loved. The opposite. So that's the opposite of the opposite of Marlon Brando. Yeah.
Oh my god. And then we've got Marlon Brando.
So we've got, the first one's the opposite of Marlon Brando. Then we've got like the double negative Marlon Brando.
It looks like he's upside down, like his teeth are upside down.
Yeah, it's like
bits. Is it two pairs of front teeth?
It's almost like the flipped his teeth and then flipped his teeth again, and the flipped his eyes and then flipped his eyes again.
That's fucked up. And then is this me?
No, this is another. So this is from the same bit that was double negative Marlon Brando, and I only took a screenshot of this one because who is she? I feel like I know her from somewhere.
It's Loab.
It's who?
It's Loab.
Oh no, and then the last one.
That's Loab.
That's Loab.
That's definitely Loab because she's got the cheeks.
Yes.
And the sort of weird eyes, scared eyes or sad eyes, I don't know. Yeah, who is that one? That's
like I know her. Like I actually feel like I know her. I'm like, I know that woman.
That's really weird. Okay.
So again, I'm agreeing with everything they're saying. I can't say Loab randomly shows up in images because I was specifically looking for Loab, but certainly like she shows up a lot more than these other like AI creatures, and you can definitely get her by doing a double negative Marlon Brando.
That's interesting.
So yeah, then I thought, can you get her by doing a double negative either of us? So now, double negative Leslie is so much cooler than double negative Mark.
Oh.
So here we go. I've got two of the opposite of the opposite of Leslie Anderson.
I can't wait. I want to see this.
I like how slow this is going because no matter how many times I send things through WhatsApp, my phone insists on it being the last thing I would possibly want to send anything.
Right, it's come up. Right, so is the first one you're... Oh, no, the opposite of Leslie Anderson. That's like a... Oh, my God. That is like something that Salvador Dali would come up with.
That was exactly what I thought.
That's awesome.
It's like...
I love it.
And I like... hypodermic needle fish injecting itself into a cloud volcano.
But then it's giving birth to an upside-down figure.
Yes.
I love it. It's really weird. Like, I see many faces in that. Like, it's awesome. I love that. I'm going to print that out and put it on my wall. I'm not
it's
even
amazing,
kidding.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Let's see yours. Oh, yours is quite dark. What the fuck? No, wait, that's me again.
Oh, no, that's you again.
Wow.
I did two for each of us. Right, so hold on. I'll give you the two, the opposites.
Right, so the second one of me, again, is really cool. It's like the two sides of me. It's like my kind of surrealist side and then my depression side. Wow. It's like castles and shit and then a river and dark gloomy clouds. It's like goth me. But it's the opposite of me.
So it didn't create a demon for you. Although it did create some really cool stuff. And then, yeah, here's the two for me.
That create a demon for you? Was it Loab?
I wouldn't say it created a demon for me. I find it interesting that what it created for me is so different from what it created for you.
That looks like a dancing lady. Or I don't know if it's a lady, a dancing figure.
And she seems
to be carrying
something like...
First I thought she was wearing a kilt, bagpipes.
Yeah, but it looks like her outfit is made out of bagpipes.
It does. And that's actually quite cool. And then, wow, who's this?
Look at her hair.
Wow. And what is she holding? Some sort of chip?
Yeah, she's holding some sort of weapon that I've not seen before. She's wearing what, like, dark sort of leather gloves. She's got an amazing, like, curvaceous figure. All this, like, billowing black smoky hair.
Yeah, her eyes are closed. She's got luscious red lips. I've no idea where she is, though, but I like her little tail flick at the end of her hair.
I don't even know how to describe her outfit either. It's amazing. It's like layered ribbons that have got like red leather sections to them and
and off the shoulder.
Yeah, it's
cheeky.
Yeah. So she's the opposite of me, apparently.
I wouldn't be so deprecating about yours. I think yours are really cool as well. I think you should put
I like all four of them. I just think it's interesting that they're like so different from each other.
I just think it's interesting that mine are just landscapes and yours are figures.
Yeah.
That's weird.
And there was no like, well, you can see the prompts there. There was no additional prompts to put in. I just changed their names.
There's one picture of Lab I'm looking at right now, and she's got a kind of skull-like face, but with a clown nose.
Yeah, I've seen that one, and I don't think it's very low, Abbey.
It is. Don't tell me it's not low, Abbey, I think it is.
It's got elements of low, Ab, but it's just not the low, Ab that I know and love.
Well, let's get more into it, because, I mean, there's an article here from CNET. A lot of financial, like I suppose, are tech companies that are writing about this, so they are kind of taking it sort of seriously. They put women in bracket, well, inverted commas. So they're saying it's the first cryptid of latent space, creepy, a demon, and a queer icon. There's a lot going on here, so let's explain. There's a lot of stuff. I don't know. There's a lot of terminology that I don't really quite understand because I'm not. I think I'll get more into it, but what do you think of AI generators? Do you think it steals work from genuine artists, or you know, or is that an art in itself? It's a bit like, you know, when photography was first invented, and maybe that threatened portrait artists.
Like,
does this threaten? I know,
like it can generate images that you can work from. It could like inspire you, and then even like you say that you'd like to get the ones of you printed off, like the woman with the billowing hair that's the opposite of me. I feel like I kind of want to get a large glossy portrait of her printed off and have it like hung in my house. And it's not like I would buy a similar portrait painted by an actual artist out there because it wouldn't have any meaning behind it. Even though the meaning behind it is weird, but now that I've seen it, I'm like, well, I like this piece of art and it's connected to me in some way. And
okay, so you do see it as art rather than just a bunch of images that a computer came up with?
I do, but I don't think I did before we started doing this to research Loab. Like, if you'd asked me last week, I'd have been like, no, it's just pish and nonsense. But I think some of the stuff it's generated is genuinely, like, beautiful and interesting.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
I don't know. I'm kind of conflicted because when I went to Glasgow School of Art and I studied traditional art of ceramic design, and they decided, whoever took over the school, we had big beef with her anyway, decided that we weren't worth it anymore and the traditional arts weren't cool, so they wanted to focus on digital art and computers, so they ditched us and basically shut down our department and claimed that it wasn't popular enough when it clearly was. They just wanted to focus all their money on digital art, so I have beef with digital art because of that, I guess. Why can't you merge
though, because with you saying that, I'm totally agreeing with you, and I know this is also going to sound crazy, but it's almost like I think if you're a human going to sound mental.
If you're human.
I think if you're a human, you should actually make art. Like, you should be in about the art. It should be like on your skin. You should be physical with the art.
But then
if you're artificially intelligent, then then make art your way, like Loab does.
But the thing is could you argue that you are creating the art as a human because you're prompting the AI, you're feeding the AI what it needs to basically pick whatever it's finding within its database to create that art. It might not be something you would have thought of, but you're giving it words and descriptions.
But then I don't know as well, because I feel like when I was obviously
so who's the creator?
Playing with this, I was laughing about and just firing random stuff in. And when I was putting in suggestions, they were shit.
Mm,
so it's almost like that double negative thing is coming up with things that are more beautiful and interesting than my suggestions.
But then we don't know what Supercomposite is using to generate Loab. She said that she wasn't going to tell anyone which particular AI generator she was using. So she said to the AI, hey, draw me something new with this woman as a base. That spawned all types of macabre and gory images with headless humans and children with horrifying faces emerging from the AI's computations. And telling the creepypasta-like tale, Supercomposite notes that Loab haunts every image she touches. I mean, haunts?
Is an inaccurate
You could argue, yeah, that she doesn't. She blesses you with every image she touches.
She does. I've yet to see an image of her that I accept as a true image of Loab, where I'm not enchanted.
This article says, which argues it makes perfect sense in the way that AI art generators work. They've taken a prompt, which the human gives them, the original images of Loab, and then mixed them with our image to generate more images. The AI Supercomposite writes, I can latch onto the idea of Loab. It's unclear at present which AI generator Supercomposite used. They told CNET this was deliberate because they did not want to advertise the AI tool and didn't want to start some kind of viral trend of people making gory stuff with the tools I've used. But you're trying.
Just started a trend in my home of me making hundreds of images of Loab.
Some have questions whether or not there's more to the story and whether Supercomposite was able to generate these images using specific prompts in the AI. Because that's another thing. Maybe she's creating this myth herself and she didn't create it via, she created it herself and it wasn't AI, or I don't know. I think it was, though. These prompts are not public knowledge, and as prompts are the key to generating images, there's a chance those prompts helped inspire some of the more gory or macabre aspects. So they're saying that she's deliberately made them gory. There's also the possibility that many images generated that featured an element of Loabness, that's a new word, were much cheerier, but didn't fit the thread and weren't used. So she's editing it to, like, meet her, like, her
knock out the most blessed images of Loab.
It's a creepypasta since I embellished the creepiness, but the process and the phenomena are totally accurately described in my thread, Supercomposite told CNET. Grotesque and concerning, or just a clever creepypasta, Loab is a thing now. She even has her own Wikipedia page. And then it ends with, beyond Loab. Notably, Loab isn't something you can recapitulate in an AI image generator like Midjourney. If you use the prompt Loab, you get all sorts of different images, none of them featuring this woman. I don't know if I really need to say this, but that means Loab is not some demon haunting the AI art generators. Supercomposite told CNET that if you used the same negative image prompt in the tool they used, you could generate Loab again. However, the software has changed so that the exact same technique is not possible, but you can work around it. They have been retweeting Loab-like images from other creators, but the reality is you can't summon Loab. You cannot get Loab to appear in your AI art. Punch in Wonderful Fun Time Playland and Loab isn't going to appear ready to suck out your eyeballs or something. There's simply no way to find Loab. If you say Loab's name 5 times, it will not appear in your AI art. Loab is not real, right? Say it with me. Loab is not real.
I will not see that.
Real. Oh, no, that's not where it ends. Oh, no, it is. Because it goes on.
Well, it shouldn't end there because it's a lie.
Yeah, but they're obviously trying to end the article as in, like, you know, saying, well, it is a myth or, like, an urban legend, you know? Well, she's not real, but maybe she is. You can generate her. You know, like the Bloody Mary thing and the Lift game, which they thought that Eliza Lamb was playing. You know, the Eliza Lamb story?
No. Sorry, my no was very odd there. The reason I'm saying no is because when I was researching it, which I'm sure is why it's probably in your head right now, but you clearly already know it was comparing Loab to the Eliza Lamb story, and I was like,
really?
I mean, she is.
You don't know the Eliza Lowe.
Like,
it's fucked up. I still can't get my head around it. Like, I remember when David showed me it, nothing really creeps me out that much, but that did. Is this Asian girl? I don't know if she's American or she was from China or whatever, but she went on holiday to LA. I think she saved up money or something and she went on a wee road trip around America and she went to LA and she stayed in what's this hotel? It's a famous hotel where lots of people, like Richard Ramirez, stayed in, and it's in the sort of, oh, fuck it, I'll just look it up. it's in like Skid Row in LA.
Mm-hmm.
Liza Lam. What's the hotel called? I'm so shy. That's right. The Cecil Hotel. Yeah, it's called the Cecil. It's got a really bad reputation because a lot of like bad shit has happened there. So on February 19th, 2013, the body of Canadian tourist, so she was Canadian, was recovered from a large cistern atop the Stay on Main Hotel in downtown Los Angeles. Yeah, they changed it to Stay on Main, but it is the Cecil. It was basically, have you seen American Horror Story Hotel?
Yes.
Well, they based the hotel on the Cecil Hotel. That's okay. What inspired that hotel with all the ghosts and shit in it and weird stuff. So she stayed in this hotel and there's footage of her coming in the lift opens, you see her, and out before she gets in the lift, it looks like she's like looking around as if someone's following her or she's looking out for something, and then she sort of gets in the lift and then just starts pressing the button frantically, like the close, the for the door to close, but it doesn't close, which is weird enough. So then when that doesn't happen, she, I think she gets back out, and then you see her. And she looks like she's doing something weird with her hands. It looks unnatural, as if she's looking at something that's not, like she's trying to touch something or push something away that's not there. And then she goes back in the lift and she starts pressing all the buttons, like all of them for every floor. And then that doesn't work. So the doors don't move or anything. So then you just see her kind of peek out the lift. And then you just see her leave. And then she's never seen again. But so later on, like, guests were complaining about how their water was pretty rank and brown and they were drinking it and brushing their teeth with it. Fuck knows why. They were complaining that the water was like basically nasty. So they looked in the water tower and that's where they found the naked body of Eliza Lam just lying in there. Obviously they were drinking her corpse juice. It was fucking horrible. But the reason why they're like, how the fuck did she get in there? Because you can't physically open that, it's really heavy, like the lid, and then to get into the water tank you can't close it from, like,
I was gonna say, surely someone would have had to have sealed it in it.
Yeah, but even just getting into it would have been really difficult. And how does she end up on the roof? But this they're not saying it's a murder, they said that it was just she did it herself. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
No. But also, she was clearly by herself. It doesn't make any sense to be like, and someone sealed her in a water tank, but...
Yeah, the elevator video. You can look it up on YouTube. You can watch it there. And there's loads of theories about that. And there's loads of detectives that have tried to, like, analyse it and think what's going on. But the reason why I'm saying Eliza Lam is the lift game, because some people theorised, and this is another creepypasta, that she was doing the lift game. And you press certain buttons in a certain order and it takes you to, then the lift should take you to a certain floor where when it opens, it you end up in a different dimension and something like a scary woman comes in and kills you or something like that. Why you'd want to play the lift game, I don't know. But again, it just sounds like some tween made it up.
Yes.
It's a lot of these type of things.
Although it sounds like some tween made it up, except in this case, this woman actually is dead from what you're telling me, but...
Yeah, she presses every button in the elevator, peers into the hallway, then leaves the elevator at one point while its doors remain open. When the doors fail to close after she returns, she leaves. The doors close later. Why were the doors not closing? That's really fucking weird. I don't get it. She looks... It's really unsettling to watch. So I've no idea why she was doing that. And part of the video is missing.
I should watch it, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you should definitely watch it and let me know what you think.
I'm going to watch it right now.
They don't know how she got into the tank in the first place. Doors and stairs that access the hotel's roof are locked, with only staff having the passcodes and keys, and any attempt to force them would supposedly have triggered an alarm, but no alarm was triggered. The hotel's fire escape could have allowed her to bypass those security measures. Oh, that's really loud. Her scent trail was lost near a window that connected to it, because they got the dogs in, I suppose. A video posted to the internet after Lam's death showed that the hotel's roof was easily accessible via fire escape and that two of the lids of the water tanks were open. Apart from the question of how she got onto the roof, others asked if she'd gotten into the tank by herself. All four tanks were 4 by 8 foot cylinders propped up on concrete blocks. There was no fixed access to them, and hotel workers had to use a ladder to look at the water. They were protected by heavy lids that would be difficult to replace from within. The hotel employee who found the body said that the lid was open at the time, removing the issue of how she could have closed the lid from the inside. Ah, okay. Police dogs that searched through the hotel for Lam, even on the roof shortly after her disappearance was noted, did not find any trace of her. I really... It's so weird.
I'm watching it just now.
Okay.
I'm finding it very weird that, although now she's staring out as though there should be somebody coming, but when she first pressed the buttons, the way she stood really casually was strange, because it's like, why would you press them all?
It's a
weird, she doesn't look scared, though. It looks almost like she's playing hide and seek from someone, but...
It's the bit where she's, like, moving her hands about in a weird way, outside the lift.
And as you said as well from that thing you were reading, like, why is the lift doors not closing? They've been open for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been open for 56 seconds at this point in time.
The theory is that she was on some sort of drugs, or she was depressed and she had schizophrenia or something like that, and she was mentally disturbed. But I still don't get why you would end up in the water.
No.
I mean, surely there's easier ways of killing yourself than doing that. Like, she was hallucinating or something.
So weird. Very interesting, but very weird.
Yeah. Anyway, that's just another example of a creepypasta that people are attaching things to. And that's a real incident, but then they're creating urban legends out of that. See, I do think that it's very, very fascinating, the whole AI cryptid thing. Because she is there. They've named her. The fact that they've named this image, that makes her real. In a way. Loab, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Added that in there because the reason I was being quiet is because I was like, but she is real. You just made me watch a video.
I'm not talking about Eliza Lam. I'm talking about Loab.
Yes. I think, yeah, regardless of what we mean by, like, she exists, like, she does exist, like, okay.
And
like,
the
this
internet
is going to be an old example, but yeah, she exists in the same way SpongeBob SquarePants exists. Like, she has an existing thing now.
Yeah, but then is it different because she exists within the web rather than SpongeBob, who's just a cartoon on TV?
No, I'd say, though, she's still...
It's...
Like, people... yeah, she's not got her own show yet, but...
Well, I mean, other people have said that it's a bit offensive to say that she's a demon because she's ugly looking. Why are ugly people always cast as demons or evil people, which is a point.
Yeah, again, like, I'm not saying it for weird, I like cryptids and I want to be their friends. In fact, like, when I was looking through the picture of her, I just thought, getting out of this is going to sound crazy, but she has really kind eyes. And I was just like, why is she an evil demon?
I think it's because people just like to, again, create mythos that maybe creepy, scary stories are more popular than she's a lovely lady, Mark.
Yeah. Not exactly. The loveliness of Loab.
You should write a wee, like, little book of Loab, like the little book of Cam. It's just all pictures of Loab to calm me down.
On that note, do you want me to send you another couple of pictures of Loab?
Oh my gosh, you're obsessed. Yes, okay.
Okay, so this is, I promise, this is my last...
Okay.
Going to a million and one different AI generators thing. So I went to AI generators and I put in, and I'm going to send you one of each.
Okay.
Loab has her friend Leslie Anderson round for dinner.
Oh no.
Loab has her friend Mark Dornan round for dinner. Leslie Anderson and Mark Dornan come to Loab's for dinner, and Mark Dornan and Leslie Anderson are at Loab's dinner party.
So you've just varied it slightly.
Just slightly.
Yeah, each time. Right, I get you.
So here are these four wonderful images. Okay. I think you really like them.
The first one, oh, what the hell is that? What was the first one? Leslie Anderson comes round to Loab.
Loab has her friend Leslie Anderson round for dinner.
Which one's Loab and which one's me? I'm the giant lady, hopefully.
Can't decide yet. I was like, I feel like the bigger lady is maybe you, so Loab is maybe a lot smaller than we thought she was.
Unless that's me on a big projector. Do you know what's really weird about that image? The big lady, she looks very similar to the opposite of Mark because she's got the same sort of wispy hair at the back.
She does.
Ah. But she's got Egyptian eye makeup, so I guess that is me then.
Yeah, I did like that, even though like she's not identifiably you, but I thought, that Leslie would do her eye makeup like that.
Right, the second one, why is that Bob Odenkirk?
The second one's my least favourite, but yeah, it is the new one. Also, the other person in the image is clearly Loab, because that's the one of Loab has her friend Mark Dornan round for dinner.
Right, so Mark Dornan is the guy with the really weird... Why is his hand like that? I don't think that's even
Loab
possible.
Maybe helping me because somebody's broken my wrist, I'm guessing.
Someone's fucking broke your wrist and it's all fucked up, but you seem quite happy about it.
Loab seems like she is done with my shit in this.
She is.
The face of just like, for fuck's sake, Mark.
Oh my god, what is this?
This is this is my favourite one. This is why I had to share these two. This is Leslie Anderson and Mark Dornan, Loab's friends, come round for dinner.
Why are you wearing a top hat?
I don't know.
But it just seems to think you're some sort of old man that. He looks really familiar to me as well. Like,
yeah, I like again, I'm like, much like we mentioned earlier, I recognise his face from somewhere and I don't know where it is.
What are we eating, though? It looks like pancakes, maybe, I hope. It's not shrimp, because that doesn't look nice. Like, crepe Suzette's or crepe...
Yeah, it looks like crepe with some sort of orange syrup, maybe, on it.
Look at my outfit, though.
I love how different your shoulders are on each side of the dress.
My big red, I would wear that hat, to be fair. And the last one is just really fucking goth as shit.
Yeah, that I
love this one. Wait, what's
this one? I kind of want to get this one printed off and put on my wall as well.
Yeah. Wow, it's like sepia and black and white kind of thing. And what's the title of this one, Mark? Because I love it.
This one is...
Yeah.
Mark Dornan and Leslie Anderson attend Loab's dinner party.
Right, okay, so I'm assuming that you're the guy with the moustache, which I can totally see you with your hand just sort of casually like flopping down. Or is that even your hand? I don't even know. That could be someone else's hand.
Yeah.
Is it? And then there's me looking pretty fucking suave with like what looks like I'm wearing a cat bodice. And but who the fuck is, where's Loab?
Yeah, I can't work out which one of the other two, like, is one of them Loab, or are they Loab's other dinner guests and Loab's taking the picture?
Could be, but who are the other dinner guests? I'm intrigued. One looks like a kind of creepy Russian lady, and the other one looks kind of like an androgynous alien goth boy.
Yeah.
Tentacles for hands.
And the androgynous alien goth boy with tentacles for hands seems really enamoured with one or both of us.
Yeah, definitely. And I just look like, very haughty.
Yeah. I'm barking sexy to talk to you, tentacle hands.
If Loab's taking the picture, it's like I'm doing like a sort of sexy pose for her. And then there's like a floaty candelabra. I don't know if it's on the wall or if it's just floating above the goth boy's head. And
maybe that's one of the other guests. Maybe I'm leaving it out of the dinner party. Maybe it's there for dinner as well.
I don't know what we're eating. Like, maybe we've already eaten our food, but there's lots of interesting glasses on there. And oh, I love it. It's such a great picture.
Yeah, the glassware on the table is like almost looks kind of like withered trees. Wispy.
Yeah.
But then we seem to also have glassware on our plates.
Yeah, that is odd. It's like it's like made out of cobwebs or something. Weird. And it's very misty in the room. I love it. That's my favourite out of a lot of them. But the second one is just like, what the hell is that? You look like a total goofball. We've both got like cross eyes. What's happening with our eyes?
The last one is also my favourite, but I feel like the second one's kind of my favourite in a way. Again, not so much for my weird battered body, but it's just the expression on Lohab's face. Like, fucking hell, Mark. I'm trying to enjoy my paella and strawberries.
Backwards.
And you're ruining them for me.
What is that? At the bottom, it looks like it's either a shell or it looks like a baby inside a shell. Like a baby's face. Can you see what I'm looking at?
Like maybe underneath my arm.
Yeah, there's like a little skull in your glass as well.
Oh, so there is.
Mm.
You're right, I don't know what that... Yeah, as you say, it looks like I've got like a seashell tucked under my arm, but inside the seashell is a fetus.
Maybe that's like low. I was just fucking fed up. It looks like she's pushing her dinner away from her as well. Like she doesn't want to eat it.
The fetuses that I carry under my arm are putting her off her foot. You're definitely going to have to share these because this is definitely a watch along episode for some parts.
Yeah, I'm going to share all these photographs. So, hey, listeners, you better go on your social media so you can see these wonderful creations. Where can you find them? You will find them on Twitter, which is Crystal. Just look up Crystal Myth Podcast. You'll find it on Twitter, or you can, it's podcast _ myth, I think, or if I got that wrong, fuck it. Facebook, we're on there. You can look it up on there. You don't even have to join. You can just have a look. I don't have exactly a website, so maybe I should make one. I've been saying that for a while. Just to double check. So our Twitter is at podcast_myth simples. I will post all the pictures on there for you all to see with descriptions. Do you know what, Cheryl? Thank you for that topic because I really enjoyed it. And now I never knew Loav existed and now she's in my brain forever.
Yeah. And I don't think that I need to talk about how much I enjoyed it because I found a new passion in life and it's Loav.
I don't think she's a demon either. I think she's rather fun. I'd like to have dinner with her, looking at that. Fun times. Right, well, let's now pick a new topic. So, have you renumbered them?
I have. I've made sure that all of the lists are now together on the one list.
Okay.
So we have 26.
Wow, that's a lot. Nice. I will pick number 8.
Number 8 is, have we done Aleister Crowley or have we just talked about the sort of idea of him before?
I can't remember.
I feel like we've not done a full episode on him, have we?
I don't think so. Not like an episode dedicated to Aleister Crowley. No, do you know what it was? It was one of the secret societies. I think it was something to do with the Golden Dawn. But if you want to do the myth behind Aleister Crowley, I'm good with that.
Yeah, let's do Aleister Crowley.
Okay.
In a good bit of detail.
I have a book on him, but the book kind of thinks he's a bit of an arsehole and a charlatan. It's biased. Let's just say. Yeah, okay, so we'll do Aleister Crowley. Mr. Crowley, please don't sue me. Well, thanks very much.
Loab will protect us.
Thank you. Thank you, Loab. I'll see you in my dreams later tonight. Well, happy Loab then.
Yes, happy Loab to all.
Bye.
Bye.